Yeah, so welcome back to The Daily Commute, which is a little podcast where we try to encourage people to live and think and feel well during this current lockdown crisis that we find ourselves in. Now, chances are, if you're anything like me, that this podcast is just one part of your ritual in terms of maybe looking at the latest numbers of the coronavirus, how many infections, how many deaths, etc. Maybe spend some time on the CNN or BBC website and almost repeat that whole process in a few minutes again to just get the latest updates. And I don't want to trivialize the whole situation, because it is a pandemic. The world would not have reacted the way that if it was blown out of proportion. But I do think we run the risk of talking about this pandemic a little bit too much. Even me talking about us talking about it too much is already talking about it, and perhaps just adding to the literature and the resources out there. Again, just giving this virus all of our time. Now, there's a guy that some of you might be familiar with, one called C.S. Lewis. And he did not write about the coronavirus, but he did write this very famous, well, now famous essay about how to live, entitled How to Live in an Atomic Age. And I think that we can replace whatever he says about the atomic age just with the coronavirus or COVID-19, and it would make a lot of sense. So I want to read just an excerpt from this very cool essay. So he says this: in one way, we think a great deal too much of the atomic bomb. How are we to live in an atomic age? I am tempted to reply, why, as you would have lived in the 16th century when the plague visited London almost every year, or as you would have lived in the Viking Age when raiders from Scandinavia might land and cut your throat any night, or indeed as you are living in an age of cancer, syphilis, paralysis, an age of air raids, and an age of railway accidents and motor accidents. In other words, do not let us begin by exaggerating the novelty of our situation. Believe me, dear sir or madam, you and all whom you love were already sentenced to death before the atomic bomb was invented, and quite a high percentage of us were going to die in unpleasant ways. We had indeed one very great advantage over our ancestors: anesthetics. But we have that still. It is perfectly ridiculous to go about whimpering and drawing long faces because the scientists have added one more chance of painful and premature death to a world which already bristled with such chances, and in which death itself was not a chance at all, but a certainty. This is the first point to be made, and the first action to be taken is to pull ourselves together. If we are all going to be destroyed by an atomic bomb, let that bomb, when it comes, find us doing sensible and human things, like praying, working, teaching, reading, listening to music, bathing the children, playing tennis, chatting to our friends over a pint and a game of darts, not huddled together like frightened sheep and thinking about bombs. They may break our bodies, a microbe can do that, but they need not dominate our minds. Now, it's so appropriate to our current moment. Now, please understand me correctly that I do not think that we must be irresponsible. I disagree with Lewis when he says we should play tennis, but again, I mean, he's not thinking of a virus. We should obey what the government tells us to do in terms of keeping this virus at bay. But in terms of it dominating our minds, dominating our conversations, if we cannot talk about anything else, then I'm afraid this virus has really gone out of control. Because the fact of the matter is that we are all going to die, and this virus has maybe just reconciled us yet again with our own mortality. But that reality never changed. And there is actually something quite narcissistic about our current modern society, in the sense that we think that we're very special, and we think that this virus is unprecedented, and nothing like this has ever happened, and this is the biggest atrocity to ever hit the human race. And although it's horrible when people die, and it's going to affect a lot of people financially and on so many levels, but if you look at history, this is really not that significant. We've seen atrocities throughout the centuries, whether it was a First World War, a Second World War, or a system of apartheid, or whatever. I mean, just look at each century, look at a decade within a century, and you will find so many genuine obstacles that people in different ages had to overcome. And this is ours. But let's not think that we are more special than all the other people who came before. And also, let's not allow this thing to dominate everything we think about and talk about and read about. Because then we might give this thing a little bit too much attention. The Bible has quite a bit to say, not about the coronavirus, but the Bible is a book full of humans. And it knows the human condition better than any other book in the world. And Jesus, in his most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, just told us in Matthew 6:27, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Let's be honest, I mean, all our talking about the coronavirus, is it going to make any difference? Or can we at least pray about things that's of eternal value, read the Bible, talk to friends, even if it's virtually, even play games, again, if it's virtually, or do something stupid at home, whether it is play Scrabble, or I don't know, run in your yard, and do the bleep test, do push-ups, listen to music, sing, tell jokes. We needn't be dominated by this thing in its entirety. And Jesus ends that little passage on anxiety with this. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. So let's give Jack the last word, and appropriate it somewhat to our current circumstances. So if we are all going to be destroyed by a virus, let that virus, when it comes, find us doing sensible and human things, praying, working, teaching, reading, listening to music, bathing the children, playing tennis virtually, chatting to our friends on Skype over a pint and a game of darts again virtually, not huddled together like frightened sheep and thinking about a virus. They may break our bodies, but a microbe can do that, but they need not dominate our minds.